Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Hope you are having a good week and looking forward to, well, tomorrow's Friday, so weekend's coming up. And to make it even better, I've got Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Mylon Yurkovich here, and we want to talk to you, and all you have to do is just call us at 1-800-229-3000. Hello, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jackie. Hey, Steve. How are you? It's always fun to be with both of you, and I am looking forward to this time together.
So am I. Yeah.
Me too. You know, there's so much going on in this world, and we always promise not to be a political place. We say this is a political-free zone. And several people have asked me, well, okay, what is New Life's position on overturning Roe versus Wade? And that is such a personal issue that has become a big political issue. So I just would say this, because I pressured a young woman to have an abortion. I feel very strongly about the whole thing. And I pressured her to have that abortion before Roe versus Wade, when it was illegal. And so I know that that really does nothing to stop the, children being killed before they're born. And I do not blame or shame anybody for making a desperate decision. I just know what it did to me, and it almost killed me, the guilt and the shame. The ulcers that I developed, I almost died from them. And I'm a guy, and I know a woman many times goes through so much more. And so I think, given the fact that some studies say that in 3 years, 80% of all abortions will be given by pill anyway, we need to up our support for people that get pregnant, and it's not really part of the plan. We need to support the whole adoption process. I just heard a company that said, given that some people are paying for transportation for abortions to be given, they're paying for any parent. They're paying their medical expenses for the birth. They're also paying for anything in the adoption process. Anything we can do to help people in that situation, it's worth it. So I wish that I could say, well, this solves everything, but I don't think it changes a lot. I think we've got to really up our game in helping people to understand that life is a universal anomaly. In the billions and trillions of miles out there in the universe, there seems to be only one place where life exist, and not just life, but lives given to us by God, and we need to preserve them. And I hate it when a woman is in a position where she has to make, or she's pressured, like I did. And so often I've heard that the abortion never would have happened if she had felt any kind of support. So support people that support life, that know how rare and special and precious it is. Because in this day and age, a lot of people just don't value life. And it is such a gift from God. So that's kind of my position. New Life doesn't have official position, except that we love God, we love what He creates, and we'll do anything to help someone who gets in trouble. And when you get in trouble, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and no shame, no blame, we're going to help you find a different path. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and your phone call. So glad to be here with you. Hope something we say might inspire you or motivate you to do something you've never done before. And so to that end, here we go.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can.
You were on a roll there, and I hate to interrupt. Your smooth roll. I mean, it is amazing. But Jackie and I were talking at the break about how we admire your authenticity, your vulnerability. And in so doing, you're a model to all of those people who are listening as to what, Jackie, as you said, being a real person looks like.
Yeah.
And you don't often see that. And so I just wanted to tell you, and Jackie and I were just commenting how much we appreciate that in you, Steve.
Well, that's very, very nice. And
was that worth the interruption?
Thank you.
Just check.
Thank you very much. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are miserable because they're trying to present a person that isn't there. And so then somebody says, man, I really love you or I like you. And instantly the brain says, yeah. But if they only knew
the real truth.
I don't want to have that. All right, let's go to the phones. Thank you, Mylon, for that. Let's talk with, how about Sarah? She's been holding for us, and we're so glad she has. Sarah, you're on, and I believe that you listen on a podcast. How can we help today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I've been living with my boyfriend in my apartment for a few years now, a couple years, I think. I broke up with him last weekend, I'm a little nervous. I broke up with him on, I think it was Friday, and he's refusing to leave. And I'm not sure how to get him to leave. He's been living here long enough, and he's getting some mail here, so he has a legal right, apparently, to stay here. And the other question I have is, he's been struggling with depression for a while, and he's just started medication. I'm hoping it's working, but for that reason, we've kind of had a history of just me breaking up with him and taking him back, just because I'm worried about him being alone, and he says things to me like, I don't know what's going to happen to me if you leave. And so I'm also kind of worried that, you know, I'll end up taking him back if he ever does move out.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. I just want to try to understand, because I think it'll help other people. But, you know, if you listen to Christian radio, you've got at least some affinity to the faith here. How did you rationalize, okay, it'd be okay if we move in together? How'd that happen in the very beginning?
Well, we are both Christian, and we were dating, and I guess I didn't set firm boundaries. I didn't really think ahead like that. He, you know, would spend nights sometimes, and it just gradually just became more frequent, and we don't have sex. It's been a sexless relationship, because we're not wanting to commit, you know, that kind of sin. And so it's just been, we have a lot of challenges. We have trouble getting along. We both have our issues, and we argue a lot, and the fights just kind of get really loud and angry, and I don't want them to get violent, and I just feel like it would be healthier for us to move on. But he's afraid to be alone.
Right. Well, let me start with Mylon. This is one of those really, really tough situations there. Mylon, what are you thinking, or Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, what are you thinking about this kind of tough situation where she feels so responsible, and I think he's using the desperation as manipulation? What do you think?
Well, I was thinking about Mylan too, because I was thinking about How We Love, and I'm wondering, Sarah, if you've ever read the book How We Love, and if you have an awareness of kind of your own love style, your own attachment style. Have you?
No, I haven't read that.
Because I'm curious.
We'll send it to you.
I'm curious, Sarah, about the breaking up and the taking him back, and the breaking up and the taking him back, and it doesn't sound like this is a fruitful relationship for either of you, but there seems to be some sense of responsibility that you have for him, and this relationship isn't meeting either of your needs except for maybe in terms of having a place to live. So you've set a boundary, but you're also aware that you don't do a good job of setting firm boundaries, and so he's not willing to leave. When I first heard you share that he had been living there and you wanted him to leave and you'd broken up, my thought was, does he have legal right to be there? Is he on the lease? Is there any way that could have him leave by eviction in terms of getting him out of the place? But then I think that deeper is getting him out of the place in relationship with you. There is something that's got you tied to him. So I think it's important for you to do a little more exploration of how you ended up in this relationship so that you don't, because wherever you go, there you are, so you don't find yourself back here again. Mylan?
Sarah, just I'm going to butt in really quick here. I know you're going to say something, and I do want to hear what you're going to say. But my question would be, how long, Sarah, have you been the responsible one? How long?
He's been depressed.
Well, wait. Before you even met him, were you the responsible one? Who were you taking care of? Why are you compelled to always rescue? How long have you been rescuing people?
I think that's part of my personality. I'm very compassionate, and he has a soft spot. I have a soft spot for him. I worry about him. He doesn't have family or friends out here.
So, Sarah,
kind of his only person.
Sarah, how long have you worried for people? How old were you when you started worrying for and about people?
As far as I can remember, all my life.
Okay. And in your family of origin growing up, Sarah, who did you worry about? Who were the people you were always focusing on and, if you will, obsessing on? Who were the objects of your worry?
The only thing that comes to mind is my mother, my sisters. My father he's always had anger issues, and so I've always felt protective of my mother.
Okay. Sarah, my heart goes out to you. And the reason I ask those questions is once upon a time, I was a lot like you. I had compassion for people. I was hypervigilant. I saw all their pain, and then I would overextend. And then when I would overextend, I would find myself in trouble of trying to carry too much of a burden that God hadn't prepared my shoulders to carry. And that's where you need to do your work, right there.
I'm recognizing that I'm losing myself. I've given too much here, and it's time for me to move on. It would just be healthier for both of us. And
yes. Well, it's important.
I broke up with him.
Jackie said something a moment ago. She said, you take yourself with you. So it's important that you work on this history, and because it could happen again with another person. It could happen with your children. It could happen with future generations where you feel overly responsible and worry. What's important for you to do is the work that of healing from that horrible burden of a little girl trying to rescue and take care of her mom in the light of it, and your sisters in the light of an angry dad.
and probably even trying to take care of Dad and prevent Dad from being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so also concerned that this man will do something, whether it's hurt himself or hurt you or hurt someone else. There's the same pattern of fear and control. And maybe you get your needs met by taking care of others, being so compassionate, does something for you. It may be that it just feels so normal. This is what you're used to experiencing.
That's right.
Yeah. And Sarah, all of the things that they're saying, I think, will help you in the long run. But right now, I want to give you a suggestion. If you look at the relationship, you have not been able to help him. He's not better now, right?
Right.
So you just say, okay, I'm not saving this guy. I'm not rescuing this guy. He sees himself as a victim. And I go from rescuing to he sees me now as persecuting him. It's the drama triangle. He sees me, the bad person, kicking him out. So here's what. You can't save him. You ought to tell yourself, I cannot help him. I can't save him, or I wouldn't even say to him. Nothing we've done has helped. But here's what you could do. You could say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start looking for options for him. I'm going to work with him to figure out, in 30 days, here's an option you could take. Here's a plan we could develop together, because us together is never going to work. We've proven that the time we've been together. So you start maybe even talking to other family members. Maybe there's somebody you've never met that would say, you know what, have him come move in with us. If not, you find some kind of residential housing, whatever it is. But you just set a time limit that the both of you are going to find what is the best option possible, because on this date, or by this date, you simply must leave, and we both must find things that can help us. We're not helping each other. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he won't leave, though.
I've given
him options.
But have you really looked at every option possible where you could say, look, here's an option. You go there. They will have you live there. Or here's another option. And if he doesn't respond to that.
He does have his own apartment. He still has his own apartment.
Okay. All right.
So then, I'm just asking him to go home.
Yeah, so you may have to do something like change the locks, put his stuff outside, a very tough thing. And if he can't survive
somehow
you have to go from I can't kick him out to I'm going to give him every option possible, and then I have to do some things I didn't want to do to have him leave.
Because, Sarah, if you want him to leave, you will have to keep trying. We can't stop at this won't work, because he won't leave. And so there's already been this decision made by both of you that he's not going anywhere, yet you're unhappy with him being there and you want him out. So take the next legal steps to have him removed from your home. He's not on the lease. There's nothing we're going to say that you can go and tell him that he will then hear from any of us and say, oh, I should move out. You've already said it. He said no, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not ready for this relationship to be over with. If you are ready for it to be over with, then you're going to have to take more drastic measures. And so go and file an eviction. Go and get a restraining order. But you're going to have to go to those next levels. There's not going to be a gentle way, a compassionate, caring way.
Yeah, and you may even you may even have to give notice on the lease, see if you tell them their situation, tell them the only way that I can go on my life is I have to leave here and move somewhere else. And so now you're both leaving there, and he's not going with you. But you just start trying to think of everything you can do. You're not responsible for him. You'll help him land softly, but he is totally in control of you, And that isn't true. You're not in control of him, and you don't determine his destiny. You are actually forcing him to grow up and to be the person that God wants him to be. And I hope and pray he's getting the right medication and the right kind of counsel. We'll take a break and come right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And Mylon, you had a couple of comments you wanted to add to what we were saying there.
Well, I do. We're talking about the general topic here is really boundaries. But I want to clarify the concept of boundaries. In Henry Cloud's book, Changes That Heal, which came out in like 1986, 1987, the boundaries section of that book was entitled Learning to Separate from Others. Separating from others. That has a different connotation to it. See, because one of the reasons, if I can't separate from others, what I'll do is I'll set a boundary, and then when I hear some moaning on the other side of the gate, I'll reopen the gate and let them back in because I can't tolerate the distress of what is going on because I haven't learned to separate from others. This was my issue of growing up. Like I said, I was a lot like Sarah. And so I had to learn that. And it involved also being able to manage the threats that people present. Because the greatest single threat a person can leave you with is the threat of suicide, or I'm going to harm myself, or this is going to end up bad. And then people's knees buckle when they hear something so severe. And we can't allow ourselves to be held hostage by something that, again, we can't control. A person will live or die not by what I do. Yeah. And so it's about learning to separate, which means I have to be able to close a gate and leave it shut. But Sarah said, no, I have compassion and he hurt, so I open it back up again. That's a really important section of the book Boundaries to really study because Henry does a great job of that. I think in the last couple of decades, the connotation of boundaries has moved into something else. It's like we just put up fences and things like that.
That's right.
But do I have the ability to evict a person, close a gate, lock it, and not reopen it is what really boundaries is all about.
And then not beat myself up as though I'm a horrible person because I did something that was good for me.
Absolutely.
I'm going to send her Take Your Life Back because I think that's what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. And one of the chapters is about being the decider in your life, not letting another person's desperation be the decider, anything like that. Also, let me just say this. I've got a sheet here today called The 10 Reasons to Hope When You're Hurting. And if you want a copy of this, just to go to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 10 things like, God really is in control and the story isn't finished yet and God has not given up on you. All of these lead to a scripture that definitely clarifies you have reason to hope, and we want you to have hope because it is there. While I'm thinking about it, Jackie, you, me, Chris, we're doing this emotional freedom workshop online August the 20th. Want to just mention what you talk about on that, what's so important about having emotional freedom?
We get to heal from our experiences, and so we're not passing it down. In the same way we pass down generational wealth or generational poverty, we also pass down generational trauma. And if we can do our work in this generation to get well, we can pass down wellness. And so that our pain is transformed into something other than continued dysfunction in the family. Because as Chris Williams would say, whatever's not transformed will be transmitted, rather than continue to transmit generations of trauma, we can come to the Emotional Freedom Workshop, learn about how we got to be where we are and what we can do differently to change our lives.
All right. Okay, well, tough situation. Let's go to Mary, Boston, Massachusetts. She watches us on YouTube, the New Life Live YouTube is right there. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life Live. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Well, tell us what's going on. You're welcome. How can we help?
I'm just having a hard time, and I would like to know how to get unstuck from being double-minded. I have conquered addictive behaviors in the past, and I've overcome them, and I've had victory. And in the past, with determination and resolve, and I've gotten caught up in it again, and this time it seems like I don't have the same resolve or the motivation and the result.
Yeah.
And I've worked hard to get where I'm at, and it's impacting my walk with the Lord, and I'm just scared that I don't want to go to hell, or I'm scared I'm not going to get through this time, and I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm so sorry that you're struggling with what so very many people are struggling with. Or the sad thing is, they're not struggling with it. They're just doing it, and they don't care. I wish I had a copy to send you, but Marcus Brotherton and I wrote a book, and it comes out in a couple of months. It's Every Believer's Thought Life. And when you hear the music, when we come back to break, I'll tell you a couple of things that might be helpful to you. But in a way, I'm glad you're struggling because you want something better for yourself. I heard John Voight talk about being so desperate, and he was so miserable. He said, oh, it's just so difficult. And he heard this voice. He believes it from God, and he said this: it's supposed to be difficult. When he heard that, it gave him hope, and he knew he was not alone, that the God of the universe was seeing him, knew him. And I believe that to be true. It is meant to be difficult. We're given challenges to grow so we can develop the character of Jesus Christ. And I think you're on your way. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Mary with these recurring intrusive thoughts. And Mary, can you tell us what are the nature of the thoughts that you hate being there?
It's sexual.
Uh-huh. Okay, so are you, lusting after somebody? Or are you thinking about somebody in the past you've been with? How does that go for you?
They're just, it's not a particular person or like an image. It's just, curse words. And blasphemous thoughts.
So here's a question that I think is the beginning of stopping the intrusive thoughts, is to stop whatever you're doing when that happens and ask yourself this: what is it that I either want or I need that these thoughts might be bringing up or calling attention to this want or need? And sometimes, we've got this desperation down inside, and it just screams at us in this way and gets us so off track. But if we could discover what does that represent? What is that need or that desire? Then I can go meet that need or desire. A lot of times when it's sexual thoughts, it's I am lonely, I am desperate, I need something better than this, I want to change the way I feel. And that's what's so great about having a sponsor in a recovery program. You know, Love and Sex Addicts Anonymous, they have helped so many people turn things around. And the way it happens, really, I think, in these situations, you have somebody to call and say, hey, it's happened again, need your help. And then they, as a sponsor, they call you and say, how you doing? How can I help you? What's going on? So I really do think, as we say in our book, Every Believer's Thought Life, it starts with trying to identify the desire or the need or the perceived need that might be screaming out to me in a way that I don't like. But let's hear from either Mylon or Jackie what they're thinking about these intrusive thoughts.
Mary, I have a question. Have you had these thoughts since you were younger, like since you were a child?
No, they started when I was about 25, and then they went away for about, they went away for like decades, for like 20 years. I mean, I would have them off and on, but I had the tools from working the program and being in therapy and in counseling and church to really be able to, you know, gain victory over them. But they just came back about 6 months ago.
And Mary, are you feeling like the thoughts are like perverse or somehow inappropriate? They're not typical sexual mm-hmm. thoughts of like being with your husband, or like they're something other than that?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Like they're kind of like, yeah.
You know, I heard you say, Mary, that there is cursing or blasphemous thoughts that go along with these sexual contemplations.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Have you ever been sexually assaulted, hurt, abused, misused in any way, Mary, at any time in your life?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
My whole childhood, I was sexually.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart breaks for you.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you would tie cursing with mm-hmm. sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you would wonder where God is. It appears from your testimony that you're trying to use a working a program type of a system of just replacing something with something else. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible memory, et cetera, et cetera. But Jackie, what are your thoughts about the importance of looking back before we can move forward to really face our traumas and our history? To your point earlier, you were talking about the transformation versus what was the other?
So transmitting. We don't transform it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mary, I think sometimes we don't give credit to the right place. And so it sounds like you are shaming and blaming and really beating up and kind of vilifying yourself for these thoughts that are in your head when you spend a childhood being sexually traumatized. And those two things might, you know, have something to do with one another. If you were to take a look back at all the experiences that you had as a child that were harmful to you, all those sexual traumas, and then fast forward to where you are in this thinking, you might find that the two pair up pretty well, right? Some of those words might have come from some of those experiences, or maybe you don't have memories of them. And so doing your trauma work could really help you to understand where that thinking came from, where some of those bodily sensations are coming from, some of the reactions that you might have when you hear certain sounds or smell certain things that trigger all of those reactions that you might have had to use in order to survive your childhood. So you've been working on trying to be good enough, trying to be a good Christian, mm-hmm. trying to be a good person, trying to get it right, and not break the rules and not think the bad thoughts. Have you done trauma work? Have you looked at how much this impacted you as you were developing in those formative years? So now your thinking is tied to that. Have you ever been in therapy for your trauma?
Yes. Been in therapy. We're working on it now. It's painful. I went through the Wounded Heart workbook, and I've been in counseling.
So,
but I thought I.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I thought I was healed.
You thought you had healed.
I thought I was healed.
What if you are healing? What if it's an ongoing process? Because there might be a lot of things that your brain has hidden from you, and something could happen and it could trigger that. Your body will hold on to things that you experienced in your childhood and not give you a date, time stamp, not give you images and or story to go along with it. And then you could have an experience in the present that triggers that past event, and now your body is back there again. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a shortcoming of yours that you are still struggling with this. You went through something that was intolerable. You went through something horrific, and it has changed your brain. Child abuse, sexual assault can cause a type of traumatic brain injury. And so you have neural pathways that were shaped by the trauma. And you're doing work to manage that, but you're white knuckling it, and maybe going back and looking at how did we get here, and you just continuing to use your tools. And so when it does come up, it's kind of like the forgiving 7 times 70. I usually think I'm not going to expect to be hurt that many times, but every time I'm reminded of that thing I forgave for, I have to go back and forgive again. And so mm-hmm. sometimes our trauma is that way. I might feel like I really have worked through this until I'm sitting in a class and Chris Williams says I have to go to AA, and now all of a sudden my childhood is back up in my heart again, and I can't figure out why I'm so upset about it. I already dealt with this. Well, clearly there's something I now need to look at that's coming up right now, and I think that might be where you are.
Yeah, and you know, you've done some work, but I'm not hearing that you've ever worked with a trauma specialist. I think these things are just saying to you, they're coming up and they're saying there's work that needs to be done on this horrific childhood, even more work. And I think if you could ask your counselor, what about a trauma specialist, because you know, you're not going to them forever. It really could change everything. There's a reason that these things are coming up, and I love what these guys are saying. You don't need to try so hard to be good. You're a great person, but these traumas that occur to children when you're a child, they need to be fully resolved, or they're going to show up in these different ways. And so maybe we could even suggest off the air a trauma specialist that might... It just might change everything. I've been changed a lot for me. Also, I want to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that can help you. But, oh my goodness, you have fought the good fight, I would say. And these recurring thoughts are just saying, I need to do some more work, different work. It will get better if you won't give up. God really does love you very, very deeply. Well, we'll take a break, come back for our final segment, and I hope that you'll stay with us here. If you need help, it is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have books, we have counselors, and we can tell you all about the workshops that we're doing that might help. It is amazing when we do something a little uncomfortable, take a risk, how amazing life can change from hard work. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry?
Steve, I came in here last segment, all prepared to read a testimony, and I heard Mylon ask this question that opened up this lady to a lot of things that Jackie drilled down on, and I told you at the break, I almost just interrupted the call and said, folks, this is why we need your help. Listen to what's going on here. Listen to the insight that these two great counselors gave to Mary. And that's why we need your help. And I think that's better than a testimony today.
Yeah.
Just this program is very, very meaningful to a lot of people, and people's lives will be different because of it.
Well, the gift that New Life has is that we work with people like Jackie and Mylon who know so much about things that are so hard. And they always have, it's not an easy solution to what they talk about, but they always have hope. And from the beginning, we've always had partners to help us do this, and we need your partnership right now.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that why does New Life ask for support? And the answer is that if you're listening to us on the radio, in most cases, New Life has to pay for that radio time and for that airtime. A lot of other commercial stations don't, because the commercials pay for whoever is on or whatever is on the show. In the case of Christian radio, in many cases, New Life has to pay, and that's a very big part of the budget. And we would not be able to talk to you if there were not generous donations.
Right.
And I would also have to say this is a very thin organization. By thin, I mean it's not steeped in bureaucracy and layers of financial, you know, sucking off of money for a variety of things. Mm-hmm. It's a well-stewarded ministry. And yeah, I come in to do radio, and then I travel and speak with New Life. So I am not on the major payroll here, okay? I have another job. And so I can only speak, being 18 years on the radio, as to how powerful and great this ministry really is. You can trust them with your dollars.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mylon.
Thank you, Mylon.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
1-800 New Life. Call us if you can help us. Go to newlife.com. We really, and Larry is the one that leads the charge here. We really respect every dollar that comes in. We were just talking about a lady that sent us, what, $140 in cash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Said that was all she had, but she was so, so very grateful.
Wow. We sent her a Bible, and her daughter used that for recovery and is in recovery because we sent the Bible.
Wow. That's incredible. So if you can help us, it's 1-800 New Life, newlife.com. Thank you, Larry, for that. Thanks for all that you do. I've got time to take this one last call. Let's go over here and talk with Pam. And Pam is calling us from Philadelphia, WFIL. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Doing all right. Something's playing me back in my ear here, an echo or something. How can we help you today?
Now?
Or maybe if you can shift whatever you're doing.
Better?
I think it is. A little bit. So, how can we help you today?
I got the speaker.
What's going on?
Okay, well, yeah, my husband, who's close by too, we're calling for our grandson. He's 17, and we're just calling to see how, as grandparents, particularly my husband, some things or a book you could recommend that he could connect more with our grandson. He's going through a lot, and he's been through a lot of trauma through his life. And he's at that pivotal age now, and we're trying to, you know, do all we can to be there for him.
What's going on with him? What's the problem, do you think?
Okay, well, our daughter, she's been a single parent, and his father has never really connected well with him. His father has his own issues, and he's rejected our grandson a lot and hasn't been there for him. So anyway, make a long story short, my daughter got married earlier, a few years back, for 6 months. That didn't work. It was a mistake. Then she got married again, and she was married for 5 years to a wonderful, wonderful man who really connected well with our grandson. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with PTSD, bipolar, and personality disorders, and he's a totally different person. Mm. My daughter had to leave him, and our grandson, he was very traumatized. My daughter's husband tried to choke him and some sexual advances toward him, totally outside of his character that he saw for 5 years. So anyway, so, you know, he's been through all these different things connected with men, and now he's 17. We know he's been smoking marijuana, hanging with the wrong crowd. So we're just trying to, you know, do our part. My daughter is in counseling, and she did start him with counseling. So he's doing some counseling himself now as well, which is a great thing.
Let me see what we've only got a couple of minutes here, but I want to hear from Mylon and Jackie. And then I've got a couple of things I want to say.
Well, I just had the first thought that I had was when you said that your grandson's hanging out with the wrong crowd, I would encourage you to evaluate how you view that crowd, because he chose them. And so there's something in that crowd that he finds himself fitting in, and sometimes his parents will say our kid's hanging out with the wrong crowd, not realizing that they are that crowd. And so if there's something in that crowd that you see that you're uncomfortable with or you don't like, you might have to reevaluate why your grandson chose to be with that group of people. Why is his safety there? Mylon?
Okay.
You know, Pam, I'm going to cover a few quick things here. I think when we separate families and send them off to counseling, we're missing something. There's just not one book or just one track for counseling. It's important that we do something in community. So I'm going to be a little selfish here and recommend our book, How We Love Our Kids, because it has a parent toolbox at the end. And it has questions that are age-appropriate to talk to your kids and ask them what's going on inside. And it'll help you and your husband engage in questions so you can prove to be that safe place to him. And if he has that for the next 10 years, it's a great start in terms of building trust and security with his grandmother and grandfather and create a sense of stability and secure attachment.
All right, I'm going to send that to you, and I'm also going to send you a book. It just showed up at the doorstep. It's a new book. It's called Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. It's really the story of me. Misty had two boys, and I had Madeline, and we blended them together, and we never treated them as stepchildren. They were our bonus children, and they have truly turned out to be such great blessings to us. But it'll help your daughter to understand what he might be feeling, especially with this kind of rejection. I wish that things had worked out better for the stepdad there. It just sounds like that was a horrible situation it developed into. But there's still hope. There's a lot that can be done to help this young man. And I think you and your husband putting into his life many times what a child defends with their parents, they're open to hear from a grandparent. It's just a really different dynamic, and I hope that's true there. So we'll send you How We Love Our Kids and Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. In the meantime, if you need some help, please call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Deeply love those people close to you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.